Everybody who can make it out to our Wednesday night services. I pray that what I have studied could be a benefit to you all. I wanted to give thanks for this opportunity to speak to you and the prayers on my behalf. I wanted to discuss with you this evening about how we as followers of Christ can become fishers of men. This account is located in the books of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. They all describe an event that takes place at the beginning of Jesus' Galilean ministry. In Matthew, the fourth chapter, Jesus is described to have departed to Galilee after John had been put in prison. As Christ walked by the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw fishermen working their nets in the sea. In Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 22, Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." They immediately left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. He called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. And also in Mark, chapter 1, verses 16 through 20. And he walked by the Sea of Galilee and saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then Jesus said to them, "Well, follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." They immediately left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little further from there, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also in the boat, mending their nets. Immediately he called them and left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servant and went after him. In these two accounts, Peter and his brother Andrew were called by Christ. As they were working, they dropped everything that they were doing to follow Christ. James and his brother John were working with their own father when Christ called them, and they left him with their servant and followed Christ. Andrew and his brother Peter possibly knew Christ and his teachings before this account happened in the Gospels of Matthew and Mark. In John chapter 1, verses 40 through 42, saying, "One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, 'We have found the Messiah,' which is translated the Christ, and he brought him to Jesus. Now when Jesus looked at him, he said, 'You are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas,' which is translated a stone." These devout Jewish men knew the prophecy of the Messiah coming to earth. They had the faith to drop everything they were doing to follow him when he called upon them when they were working in the sea, releasing all control into God's hands. So what does Christ mean when he says fishers of men? First, being a fisher of men is everyone who is called to bring men into the body of Christ. This is someone who has already been saved by the cleansing spirit of Christ through the waters of baptism, someone who has confessed that Christ is the Son of God and has repented of their sins. Being a fisher of men is a calling by Christ, a calling that all Christians were given. In Matthew chapter 28, Christ gives us a commandment to go forth into the world making disciples of all nations. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am always with you, even to the end of the age. Amen.'" Being a disciple of Christ means that we are to put Christ first in our lives. We are to deny ourselves and be a benefit to God. Being a fisher of men, we are always to put Christ first in all that we do, having love and kindness towards all men. In Matthew, the 16th chapter, Christ tells his disciples of the commitment that they must have so that they might be called up to heaven. in Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 27, saying, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works. To be a fisher of men, we must commit ourselves wholly unto God. Take up our cross daily and carry it, just as a fisherman would his fishing pole and gear. As a fisherman, you will travel to many places to find the best fishing grounds. Some spots may be a location that is top secret so that others do not find where you are catching large fish. Some spots are more public but offer a fun and safe location for fishing. As fishers of men, our fishing ground is the whole world. Those secret locations might be our places of work where we might be able to spread the word of God to others, or at home where you can teach the word of God to your family. And then those places that are more public might be at the grocery store or at a restaurant where your actions as a Christian are seen that might inspire others to seek and follow the word of God." In Matthew chapter 13, Christ tells the parable of the four soils, saying in verses 3 through 9, "Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, 'Behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places, where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up, because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And then following in verses 18 through 23, "Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. But he who receives the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who receives the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. In this parable, it gives us an example of when we as fishers of men spread the word of God to others in this world. Though sometimes the seed is planted, it may not come to fruition until later in their lives. If we as fishers of men continue to spread the saving graces of God, we may reap fruits of our labor in heaven. As a fisherman, their main and only goal is to catch fish. Whether it be for sport or for food, or for commercial reasons, this is their main goal. Many fishermen are passionate about their time on the waters, seeking to find the biggest and meanest fish there is. They also know that there are many kinds of fish that require different kinds of fishing methods or tactics that they must use so that they can be successful in their excursion. As a fisherman, we must also use different tactics to share the word of God to others. In some situations, other methods may be more direct in our motives to spread the gospel. In other situations, it may require us to take a softer approach when talking about God. In Jude verses 22 through 23, And on some have compassion, making a distinction. But others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. In all cases, we must do this with love and patience, or we risk scaring those who are in need of God away from him. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, best describes this in verses 24 through 26, saying, "And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snares of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will." Just as a fisherman is patient and gentle and gently lures in his catch, we too must show that we are not confrontational in our tactics in spreading the word and scaring the lost away from God. We must just as we must be gentle and patient, we also must attract those to God through our actions. A fisherman always knows that he may never get a bite on his line going from one fishing hole to another. This is the risk that they carry with them, but they also enjoy the time spent looking for those trophy fish. They don't let the pressures of life weigh down on them and let their emotions take control, because if they do, they will tend to have outbursts of wrath, ruining any chances of catching a fish. We as fishers and men must also control our actions so that we may attract those to God. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 24, saying, "But the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." In showing the fruits of the Spirit, we can attract those who are in need of that saving graces that only he can grant. In this attraction towards God, we are warned by Christ to not be boastful about those deeds. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 2 through 4, saying, "Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, as your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly." As fishers and men, we must know our equipment. Our equipment is given to us by God, for it is from God. The Bible contains a way for others to transform their lives. We must know our equipment so that we can use it efficiently in the kingdom. We must use that two-edged sword so that it may fend off the devil and his ways from others and free them from his snares. For in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 through 13, saying, "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joint and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account." As we already know, being a fisherman, a catch is not always guaranteed. A fisherman could wait for hours and never catch anything, but yet they are always patient and not quick to anger when things don't go their way. We as fishers and men must also take the same path in spreading the word of God. We may also have to wait patiently for someone to receive the gospel. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 through 7, saying, "Who then is Paul and who is Apollos? But ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one? I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase." Don't let discouragement overcome you when you don't see the results of your fishing. Also, don't let this discouragement cause you to not go fishing. For some wait on better conditions to go out and fish or on others to accompany them. We are called in Matthew chapter 28 to make disciples of all nations now and not just when we feel like doing his will. The seas are ripe and ready for the harvest. For in John chapter 4, verse 35, saying, Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. In all that we do, we must never give up on fishing for men. We must not let go of our equipment and forget our tactics of fishing. But know that we will never catch every fish when we cast our line. Find encouragement in those who took the word and diligently started fishing and spreading the seed in others. Be patient and diligent in your work with love and gentleness in your heart, and do not let the tactics of the devil discourage you from fishing. Don't let the lack of faith keep you from casting one more time. In Luke, the 5th chapter, Christ teaches his early disciples to not give up. In Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, saying, So it was, as the multitudes pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, Launch out into the deep and let down your net for a catch. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing, and nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. And when he had done this, they had caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partner in the other boat to come and help them. And they had come and filled the boats, and so they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, Do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. In closing, I pray that you can take from this study the importance of fishing for men. We are commanded to make disciples of all nations, and we cannot do that if we are not actively out in the kingdom, searching with a loving heart. The church stands ready to assist any of those who are in need. Those who may need prayers or would like to obey the gospel, we ask you to come sit on the front row as we stand and sing the invitation song.